It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. It's Thanksgiving week. And I am J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios this week. It's great to be here. Great to talk to all of you. I've been here with Sandy before. You may have seen me on Fox a number of times. I'm president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. We fight voter fraud. President had appointed me to his Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity before the left blew that up. And I've been with you before. I'll be with you this week. We'll be talking a lot of about all of the important things to give thanks for, but also important things happening to our country, happening in your lives, happening to our president. And really, one of the things we should be thankful for is that we live in a country like we do. And what makes our country special? Is it the fact that we have really good football or really tall buildings? Or perhaps we have really good economy. Maybe that's what makes our country special. But I would submit to you that it's something far more important that makes America special, and that is that we have a constitution that divides power so that your lives are better, that we are more free, because government doesn't do in our country what it has done across the centuries in other places. And one of those things that we do in our country is we have a president who executes the laws, a legislature that writes the laws, and a judiciary that interprets the laws. Now, I know a lot of you out there have been very active on some of those issues, such as making sure we have good judges. Because as you know, judges have really transformed parts of this country. I don't need to tell you that. We've done plenty of shows, and Sandy has done plenty of shows here on American Family Radio about what judges have done. But I want to talk for a minute about the president, because the president, under our Constitution, executes the laws, carries them out. And for those of you who are following along from 2009 to 2017 under President Obama, know full well that President Obama wasn't a big fan of faithfully executing the laws, was he? For example, in my area, the area that the Public Interest Legal Foundation works in, fighting voter fraud, you know, there wasn't a single, not one, not a single prosecution for voter fraud between 2009 and 2017 by the Justice Department, by Eric Holder, not one. Oh, and there were plenty of opportunities. Meloise Richardson in Cincinnati, for example. You can watch the video of her. Just Google Meloise Richardson voter fraud Al Sharpton party. Go ahead and do that. She voted for people who slept on her couch from time to time, who were registered to vote at her house. She cast, I think, 5 or 6 absentee ballots for President Obama, was prosecuted by state officials, got a long jail sentence, but she got out super early after just a couple of days, and they threw a party for her in Cincinnati. There could have been a federal prosecution, but of course we know there wasn't, because we know who the president was who didn't faithfully execute the laws. So fast forward to today. What's in the news? And that's the impeachment hearing. We'll talk more about that this hour. I have a guest coming on from the Heritage Foundation. Hans von Spakovsky writes a lot about impeachment. But things are not going so well for the Democrats now on the impeachment inquiry. Some poll numbers are coming in. and things are starting to look like they may have made a mistake in taking this issue up. For example, a new poll found 49% oppose impeachment among independents compared to 34% who supported it in October, who support it, 49 to 34. Now, those numbers among independents were reversed in October, 48% to 39%. So there's been a huge swing among independent voters. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Schiff, it's particularly bad in the upper Midwest for you. Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio. Independents do not support the impeachment of President Trump. Now, let's talk about this. I know it's tiresome. You know, you see it on the news. It's like you if you're in an airport, you can't avoid it because it's like on – is the only place people watch CNN is in airports? I really think that might be it, that the only viewers of CNN are in airports. They're trapped. And whenever you're in an airport, as I've been in the last couple of weeks, you see impeachment on the television. And it's a nonstop show. But here it is boiled down. Let me try to boil this down to a simple, simple idea. The president of the United States is supposed to faithfully execute the laws. The president is a unitary executive. All the bureaucrats who work for them are not the president, though I think they are. They think they are. The bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. have decided that they know better than the elected people. And folks, I've talked about that on this show. I've talked about that on Fox. I've written extensively about that at PJ Media. I wrote a book about it called Injustice, New York Times bestseller. What is happening in this country today is bureaucrats have begun to think they know better than both the elected president of the United States and you, because you guys live in Mississippi and South Carolina and Danville, Virginia. And so there isn't any way you can know better than that bureaucrat with a Yale degree in government planning. And folks, I'm telling you, this dynamic, this divide about the elite bureaucrats in Washington versus the regular people who are driving to work right now in middle America listening to me is the essential struggle of our time in our government. Because it drives the Mueller report, it drives the chaos on the streets of Ferguson and Baltimore that we endured during the Obama years. It drives the impeachment investigation, because bureaucrats in the State Department thought that they knew better than everybody else. Bureaucrats on the National Security Commission thought that their views were more important than the views of the President of the United States. And we see the same dynamic play out over and over and over again, folks. And I'm not underestimating how critical it is you understand this, that we have entered a new age where the bureaucrats think they know better than the people do. Now, who warned us against this? Right? This isn't some new phenomena in world history. The founders did. The founders knew that government had power creep, that eventually government would want to dictate every tiny little thing, like your light bulbs, your refrigerators, your toilets, your everything. And so they set up a system of limited government where the president has absolute authority to enforce the laws. In some cases, Eric Holder and Barack Obama just decided, we're not going to enforce the law because those voter fraudsters are voting for us. And so there's no reason to be enforcing laws when it helps us. And that's exactly what Eric Holder did. And I'd be happy to defend that anywhere. I worked at the Justice Department. I saw how law enforcement became a partisan tool. For example, when the Justice Department objected to South Carolina voter ID and said that it's racist, they had the power back then to do that under the Voting Rights Act. The Supreme Court has since changed that. But back then, they could stop South Carolina voter ID. So South Carolina had to go to court and spend $1.5 million of taxpayer money to get voter ID approved because Eric Holder tried to stop it. So the president has the power to enforce the law. So what is the impeachment issue all about? The president was on a phone call, and he said that possible crimes by Hunter Biden should be looked at. Shock. Possible crimes by Hunter Biden ought to be looked at. Crimes. Meddling in the 2016 presidential election. Ooh, where have we heard that before? I thought meddling, anybody who is east of the Western Europe who meddles in our election, I thought that was per se a crime. Okay, well, the Ukrainian government at the time was clearly hostile to Trump. The American ambassador was hostile to Trump. Trump canned her rightfully, which, oh, constitutional primer, presidents have the right to do. But yet that became something in the impeachment inquiry. That's where we're living in, folks. It's upside down world where if the bureaucrats are offended, if the bureaucrats don't agree with the president, then it's time to call up an impeachment party. And in this case, the bureaucrats were offended. They didn't like what the president did. They didn't like that the president thought that criminal laws ought to be enforced regarding meddling in the election. The president has the power under our Constitution to tell the Attorney General, investigate Hunter Biden. I believe, as the chief executive of the United States, that the Constitution gives the power to enforce the laws, that we should look at enforcing the law against Hunter Biden that may have committed a crime, period. He is the head of the government and has the power to enforce the laws. So how does that lead to an impeachable offense? He also, by the way, has the power to withhold aid. Foreign aid, our tax dollars that are going to foreign governments, the president can delay aid. In fact, it's in the Washington Times today that it happens all the time to effectuate American interest. So that's what lands us in the middle of an impeachment inquiry. A president who is concerned about criminal behavior in the past, it doesn't help the president. It's not a personal benefit to the president to have Hunter Biden rightfully prosecuted if he committed a crime. How does that help President Trump? His bank account doesn't move. Oh, I see. So somehow it politically helps. Oh, I get it. Well, if we use that standard, the entire Obama administration is one great big cesspool. A great big cesspool of quid pro quos to the auto workers in the bailouts of Chrysler and GM when they wiped out bondholders of their savings in order to give it to the unions. Quid pro quo. Disregard the law. Sound familiar? But there wasn't a word out of Adam Schiff about that. No. Because it helped his political constituency. And there we are, folks. That's what we've gotten to. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in this week for Sandy Rios. After the break, we're going to be joined by Hans von Spakovsky to talk more about this. It's Thanksgiving week. A lot that we should be thankful for. A lot that we should be concerned about. And how to draw the distinction between the two might be part of the secret. Hans has been with me at the Presidential Advisory Commission for Election Integrity. He's written extensively about impeachment. So we'll be talking with Hans von Spakovsky next. So what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for this week? We're going to take your calls this hour at 888-589-8840. My name is J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios all week on American Family Radio. We'll be talking tomorrow about the Electoral College and attacks on it. And, of course, I can't suffer Sandy without doing a segment on voter fraud and how it's affecting our government and our Constitution. J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios.
Hi, it's Michael with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. I met 14-year-old Ahmed earlier this year in the Middle East. At 12, he had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. His dad died fighting for ISIS. His mother and seven siblings were radicals, but they embraced the gospel. And when they did, he viewed them as infidels and wanted them dead. But his mom prayed nonstop for his salvation. It came, and when it did, he was beaten nearly to death by the radicals he hung around with. When he and I met earlier this year, he was able to open his Arabic Bible and see where Jesus says, "They'll hate you because they hated me first." But with tears in his eyes, he said, "Michael, there's hundreds of young guys like me going to kill themselves in the name of Allah. We need to save them." And he's led dozens to Christ in a place where they need the Bible. Would you join us in this wonderful work to support the persecuted church?
Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD. That's 800-YES-WORD. Or click sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Udom Dillon, acting administrator at the DEA. His office works to combat drug trafficking and distribution in the United States. Romans 13:1 reminds us of the importance of submitting to governing authorities. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Udom Dillon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. This Christmas season, send a prayer or Christmas greeting to President Trump and his family. Your message will be delivered straight to the Oval Office. It's fun, easy, and it's free. Learn how at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Biological girls in Palatine, Illinois, will now be forced to share locker rooms and bathrooms with boys who identify as girls. The school district's new policy will allow students to be treated in a manner consistent with their gender identity, and that includes access to bathrooms and locker rooms. Female students are horrified. Parents are furious. One girl explained that as a member of the swim team, she routinely has to disrobe in the locker room. She fought back tears as she told a television reporter how fearful she was of changing in front of a boy. Transgender activists are celebrating, calling it a great first step to invading locker rooms and bathrooms across the fruited plain. So now you can add privacy to the right sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. Be sure to check out our website for some great Christmas presents for the gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables in your family. Check out ToddStarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. It is J. Christian Adams. I am in for Sandy Rios this week on American Family Radio. It's great to be here with you celebrating this Thanksgiving week. A lot to be thankful for. One of the things we do not have any ability to be thankful for is what's happening in Washington, D.C. in our government. And in the last segment, I talked about how we're entering a dangerous new constitutional phase where the bureaucrats think they know better than you how to run the country. They think that they know better than the people who actually won the election, namely the President of the United States. The bureaucrats, who, by the way, make enormously lucrative salaries, who do very little work. I was in the federal government, and I will tell you that the people who are there spend a lot of time doing nothing. As a matter of fact, the voting section at the Justice Department right now, as we sit here today, although they're probably not there yet, they didn't usually come rolling in until closer to 10, they virtually have nothing to do. after the Supreme Court in 2013 struck down a power of the voting section where I used to work to basically approve or reject state election laws, right? There was probably 30 employees dedicated to this, the Justice Department. Do you think one of them have lost their job after the Supreme Court said what they do is obsolete? No, not one. There's about 80 people there that do nothing. And when I say they have lucrative jobs, these lawyers are making $150,000, $160,000 a year, and they don't have any cases. Talk to some guy in Lexington, South Carolina, or Jackson, Mississippi, a lawyer schlepping through personal injury cases with a huge caseload, making a lot less. That's what's going on in our government. And I'll be joined in just a second by Hans von Spakovsky. Look, let's look at the latest news today. A lawyer who was on the Mueller investigation, we just found out today, was removed, or an FBI lawyer was removed because of his bias against President Trump. Oh, it gets a lot worse in today's news. It turns out that the same lawyer, let's make sure we identify him. His name is Kevin Kleinsmith. Kevin Kleinsmith, former FBI lawyer, is under an investigation because he falsified emails used to obtain a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court warrant to begin an investigation of the Trump campaign. Did you hear what I just said? And Adam Schiff is worried about impeachment? These are bureaucrats who think they know best. I'm joined by Hans von Spakovsky. Hans is an American hero, folks. Really, seriously, you should read his stuff. He is at the Heritage Foundation, and Hans writes about just about everything. In my field with the Public Interest Legal Foundation, he writes a lot about election fraud, but he also writes about impeachment. Hans, good morning.
Good morning, Christian. That's quite an introduction, a lot for me to live up to.
Right. Well, look, Hans, I've been talking about how the bureaucrats in Washington, and, you know, take your pick, whether it's the USDA, whether it's the Justice Department, whether it's the State Department, they think they know best. And I think that has a lot to do with the obsession with impeachment going on right now. What do you say?
Oh, no, that's exactly right. In fact, if you look at the witnesses that Adam Schiff brought forward for the 2 weeks of hearings in the impeachment case, almost all of the witnesses, many of them were State Department bureaucrats, State Department diplomats, and what was the substance of almost all of their opinions? It was that they were critical of how the president had handled our diplomatic relations with the Ukraine, as if he should be impeached when he doesn't follow the advice given to him by the State Department, as if the State Department, under our Constitution, has the primary role in shaping our foreign policy. I mean, what you heard were all these gripes from these State Department bureaucrats whose advice wasn't followed, and importantly, the big witness for them, one of the big witnesses, was the former American ambassador to Ukraine, Ambassador Yovanovitch, who was so appalled that she had been fired. You know, I was sitting there listening to that, and she apparently doesn't realize that, you know, ambassadors serve at the pleasure of the president. They can be fired for no reason or any reason. And, you know, Barack Obama, on Inauguration Day, fired every single Bush-appointed ambassador around the world, and Yovanovitch, who was an Obama holdover, her big complaint was that she was fired by Trump.
Right. I think this is extremely important, the story of the Ukrainian ambassador, because it really shows the arrogance of these people in Washington. Let's reframe this. Here is a professor an ambassador who was actually called as a witness by Adam Schiff to make the case that somehow something bad happened that President Trump did. I mean, 30 years ago, Would you agree that not even the Democrats would have tried that one? I mean, it's so ridiculous to say, oh, this Obama ambassador was let go because she didn't carry out the wishes of the administration. I mean, it's almost a farce, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is almost a farce. And look, you know, you're talking about what would have happened 30 years ago. Well, look at the rules that were set up for this impeachment and compare that to 30 years ago. Look, when Bill Clinton was investigated by the House for possible impeachment, you know, the resolution set up rules so that both parties, both sides, would be able to call witnesses and bring in documents through subpoenas, etc. The rule set up this time by Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi gave unilateral control to the Democrats. The Republicans could not act without getting the permission of the Democrats, and as you know, they refused to do that. Witnesses that the Republicans wanted to bring forward, the Democrats refused. That makes it very clear that this is a politically partisan effort. It has nothing to do with an objective inquiry into whether the president engaged in any wrongdoing.
Well, I like to say that the modern Democrat Party has its heritage in other world history that doesn't allow for opposing witnesses. So, you know, that's not to be surprised by that, it seems. I'm J. Christian Adams. You're listening to American Family Radio. Taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. I'm joined this morning by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation talking about the impeachment inquiry of President Trump. But, you know, Hans, it's a lot more dangerous than just this absurd impeachment. I wrote a piece a while ago, actually back in October, about Kyle Freese. And those of you who don't recognize the name, the headline says, Trump hater, federal employee, arrested for leaking national security secrets. Remember him, Hans? He was the guy who was giving top secret information to his girlfriend, who he lived with, a reporter for CNBC who was then passing
right.
it along. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is dangerous, folks. What I'm telling you exists, that's driving the impeachment inquiry, that's driving all of the hatred of Trump by the bureaucrats, goes into the area. It crosses the line to them leaking top secret information. Hans, we've never seen anything quite like this in this country, have we?
No, we never have. And look, that brings us around, of course, to how the first 2 years of the Trump administration were unfortunately totally distracted by the Mueller investigation. And that in itself showed how far Democrats are willing to go, because we now know that claim was a hoax. It was based on political opposition research, and something happened that has never happened before in our entire history. A secret federal court authorized, based on false information, a counterintelligence operation against the opposition political party presidential candidate. That is such a misuse of the powers of government, and something like that's never happened before.
Ronald Reagan said that it only takes one generation to lose freedom, and I've said that at the time when I think everybody first heard that, it sounded sort of quaint and, you know, probably right. You're not going to quibble with it. But I think we're living it now. And if you were to go back 30 years and say what you just said, that a counterintelligence operation was used to spy on a presidential campaign and then use the power of the government to bog down the president for the first 2 years of the administration, it would sound crazy, wouldn't it, Hans? It would almost sound like some sort of Tom Clancy novel, but that's what we're living in.
Yep, that's very true.
And look, folks, it all boils down to the fact that the government works for you. It's supposed to work for you. The president gets to make decisions based on his beliefs or her beliefs that were vetted in an election. And this president ran against the bureaucrats. This president ran against the swamp. And now we see what happens when the swamp strikes back. Hans, where do you think, what's next up in the impeachment inquiry?
Well, you know, there have been some rumblings from some Democrats about, well, maybe we should just censure the president rather than vote to impeach him. And I think that's because they're getting scared by the polling. You know, the latest polling numbers out, particularly for Democrats in states where Trump won and who are worried about re-election next year, the polling shows that, for example, independents have been swinging towards the president as these impeachment trials have been going on, and that makes it pretty clear the American public sees this as a partisan effort. And I think that's starting to potentially scare them into thinking that, you know, they originally thought the impeachment would help them in elections, and I think they're now starting to get worried that it might actually hurt them. That, of course, is, as you know, is what happened to Republicans after they tried to impeach Bill Clinton.
Gallup has a new tracking poll out. Mr. Trump's approval rating has risen 2 percentage points now to 43%. The same, listen to this, the same as what then-President Obama scored in November 2011. So at the exact same point in time, a year before President Obama trounced Mitt Romney, which, by the way, may have been the worst candidate in all history, right? And we won't even get into his role as a U.S. senator on this show. Maybe the worst candidate in a long time, and President Obama is exactly in the same place as President Trump is in 2011. So I think you're right. A number of things that I think have led to this, though, Hans, and it's almost as like today's Washington Times has a piece. Schiff dismisses the idea of testifying in Trump trial. Questions swirl about handling of whistleblower's complaint. Remember, this was all brought about by a so-called whistleblower. What is another word for whistleblower? Angry bureaucrat? Right? And so,
right.
So here we go. What is the role that they're talking about between Representative Adam Schiff, who's driving the impeachment inquiry, and this whistleblower? What is it that they're worried about? What's happening?
Well, I think he's worried about the credibility of the whistleblower. And remember, the whistleblower is one of the people that the Republicans wanted to call, and Adam Schiff refused it. And that's because, any lawyer knows that when you have a witness who is claiming that something happened, the credibility of that witness is crucial in looking at what they have said. And here, because they've kept hidden, officially anyway, who the whistleblower is, we can't judge that person's credibility. Of course, a lot of people in Washington have figured out who he is. It turns out he's a Democratic activist, someone who apparently worked with Joe Biden's office and John Brennan before. And there are allegations that he consulted with Adam Schiff and Adam Schiff's office before he ever filed his whistleblower complaint with the IG for the intelligence agencies. All of that has a lot of bearing on the credibility of whether this was really just a whistleblower complaint or, frankly, part of an organized plot against the president to, again, come up with false claims against the president, which is why Adam Schiff, I'm sure, does not want to testify, and why, as chairman of the Intelligence Committee, he prevented the Republicans from being able to bring the whistleblower before them as a witness.
And news organizations are bending over backwards, aren't they, to hide the identity of the whistleblower?
Yeah, and I don't get that at all. You know, the whistleblower statute prevents members of the government from revealing the name of a whistleblower. It certainly doesn't prevent private citizens and, more importantly, the news media. And look, Christian, you and I both know that if this situation were reversed, if this was a Democratic president and this was a Republican activist acting as a whistleblower, his name would be on the front pages of the New York Times and the Washington
Post. Right. Listen, my name is J. Christian Adams. We're on American Family Radio. I've got Hans von Spakovsky on. We're going to take some phone calls in the next segment. We want your phone calls at 888-589-8840. It's Thanksgiving week. I'm so glad to be here for Sandy Rios subbing. My name is J. Christian Adams. We're talking about the impeachment sham, some say, and President Trump's gaining poll numbers over it. Things are looking up. Be back with you in a moment.
You will know them by their fruit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Chick-fil-A's recent giving decisions caught many Christian supporters by surprise. It wouldn't have, however, if we'd been paying attention to Chick-fil-A's corporate structure. The donations were coming out of the Chick-fil-A Foundation. The executive director of the Chick-fil-A Foundation is Rodney D. Bullard, a former White House fellow and assistant U.S. attorney. Mr. Bullard was also an Obama donor and more recently had donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign while at Chick-fil-A. And unsurprisingly, Mr. Bullard has led Chick-fil-A to fund all manner of regressive social justice causes. Mr. Bullard's hire indicated Chick-fil-A's future course.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
We have been in a combat zone, and the stresses on soldiers come out quickly. It's an absolute joy to have the soldiers come back to you and say, man, you don't know how much that helped. It's a huge mission field.
Exploring Missions. Listen Saturday evening at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 1 on American Family Radio.
Hey, babe, I just finished up the Christmas list for the kids.
Cool. Just make sure you check out AFA's Naughty or Nice list to see what stores to avoid.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's showing that Walgreens is naughty.
Let me see. I see Walmart is still good.
Oh, but Walmart is always crowded.
Just think about the kids, babe.
Think about the kids, babe. You're no help.
Find the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list at AFA.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. FISA warrants based on the work of FBI agents allowed the FBI to surveil Donald Trump, who was at that time an American citizen like you or me. This spying launched the entire two-year, $35 million Trump-Russia collusion hoax, which cleared the president of all charges. CNN, of all people, is reporting that the first FISA warrant in this whole sorry saga contained alterations made by an FBI agent that changed the meaning of the document. This is about as serious as it gets. James Comey's FBI was a corrupt part of the deep state that hated Donald Trump so much they were willing to falsify documents in an effort to take him out before he was even elected. The more we learn, the worse things get. It's likely that FBI personnel, perhaps even James Comey, will wind up behind bars for this, and the president once again will be exonerated.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of President Trump's closest foreign allies is undergoing a similar form of political warfare dressed up as a prosecution and with a similar object, namely removing him from power. The parallels between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's travails and those of his American counterpart are striking. Both men have proven to be formidable candidates, frustrating rivals at the polls and prompting such foes to use politicized investigations and judicial proceedings to try to defeat their respective nation's leaders. Donald Trump has strenuously challenged the successive witch hunts against him, and Bibi has vehemently denied the corruption charges filed against him yesterday. Ultimately, it will probably be up to the voters in both countries whether these powerful leaders will continue to serve. But we should be under no illusion about the politicized and highly problematic investigations that seem designed to influence them. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. I am J. Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios this Thanksgiving week on American Family Radio. I'm the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. All we do is fight voter fraud. We're a nonprofit charity that litigates and educates about the threat to our election systems. I'm joined this morning by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, and we want to be joined by you at 1-888-589-8840 on American Family Radio. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. Hans, we're talking about the impeachment, and we're talking about bureaucrats who don't like President Trump. We're talking about poll numbers that are going up for the president, especially among independents who are supporting the president in this impeachment inquiry, particularly in the upper Midwest. And we want to take some calls about this. And the first person we're calling, we want to talk to, is Mary Jane. Mary Jane is in Virginia. And Mary Jane, is it the case that you were a missionary in Ukraine for a while?
Yes, I was, with my husband in the late 90s and the early 2000s. My husband was a 20-year Navy carrier-qualified pilot. And when he retired, we were planting churches in Maryland. And part of our ministry, he was invited by the military in Ukraine to come over and tell them about Jesus. And when he found the conditions over there, the Lord dealt with me to go with him, which I didn't want to do. I just had very serious heart surgery. And the Lord said, I want you to go with him over there. And I ministered to the women. They were in a terrible condition over there.
And what do you think of
pastoring a church then?
Yes. I'm sorry. What do you think of what's happening now with Ukraine being in the impeachment inquiry?
I am to the point of anger because I'm writing a letter to President Trump, and I'm including a newspaper article from a local paper in Maryland that has our whole story in it, my husband and I, what we were doing, and three large pictures. The first picture is the bombed-out shelter, that's what it looks like, that the military had to live in. The second picture is a beautiful house being constructed by a bureaucrat, so to speak, or a Ukrainian official. And the third picture is my husband and I in a church that we had planted there and supplied all the money. We were feeding people, old women in the center of the city there at Mukachevo, who were begging for food.
Right. And thankfully, hopefully you didn't go too close to Chernobyl, which of course is in Ukraine. Hans, what is it about Ukraine that Americans should know? I mean, aren't they always historically a little against the Russians in some cases?
Well, of course. And what people need to remember that Joseph Stalin engineered a deliberate, intentional famine in the Ukraine that killed upwards of 10 to 20 million Ukrainians by starving them to death. So they don't have a lot of good feelings towards the Russians. And look, let's assume for just a second that there was a temporary halt in aid to the Ukraine while the president talked to them about the possible corruption in Ukraine. You know, this president has provided them with actual military aid so they can resist the Russian army and the Russians engineering people, insurgents, in Ukraine as part of their long-term plan to regain control of Ukraine, whereas the prior president, President Obama, actually refused to do that. So this president actually has helped Ukraine more than the prior president, and was he wrong to be concerned about corruption in Ukraine and our aid possibly getting diverted? Well, of course not. That's the kind of thing we are always concerned about when we provide foreign aid to a country like Ukraine. And let me tell you, we should be helping them resist the Russians trying to basically reintegrate and rebuild the Russian Empire.
I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls at 888-589-8840. I'm on with Hans von Spakovsky. I'd like to go now to John, who's in Indiana. John, what do you have to say about the impeachment inquiry?
Gentlemen, I think this resembles more the Andrew Johnson inquiry, where the majority back then of the radical that were in charge charged him with violating the extra constitutional tenure of office act passed in 1866 when he was dismissing bureaucrats that were serving politically at his pleasure. The same complaint came up in the Department of Justice when all the United States attorneys, some of them that were fired by President Trump, previous administrations had, in the Clinton and Obamas, they all had to turn in their resignations upon receiving office. This ambassador to Ukraine is acting like she's some kind of tenured professor, and they don't have that right. And that came all the way to the Senate trial in 18, against Andrew Johnson after President Lincoln was assassinated.
And Hans, who's in charge of the executive branch?
Well, it's the president. Although even that apparently these days is amounts to some kind of controversy. I actually just published an article this weekend over the fact that Attorney General Barr gave this terrific speech at the Federalist Society convention about the fact that under our Constitution, under our theory of the unitary executive, it's the president who's supposed to be running the executive branch, and that's under attack by liberals. But listen, I have to say, John, your caller, is exactly right. What's going on here does most closely resemble the impeachment of Andrew Johnson, who took over after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. The Senate Republicans, in that case, they were called Radical Republicans, they didn't actually have any evidence of any serious misconduct by Johnson. They didn't like him personally, and they didn't like his policies, and that's why they attempted to impeach him. And that sounds very similar to what's going on today.
Right, and once again, it goes back to the bureaucracy in Washington that in 2019 is far more radicalized, far more robust, and has far more tentacles in every aspect of American life than it did in 1860s.
Right.
And it's so incredibly different and so much more potent. Every day you read about some bureaucrat pretending the president doesn't exist, pretending the election didn't occur. And I just can't overstate to the people listening out in the real world how emboldened, how wealthy, how arrogant the bureaucrats are in Washington, D.C. We want to go to Joe. Joe's in Ohio. Joe, what do you have to say about the Ukraine and election meddling and impeachment this morning?
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for your great guest. I know the Republican establishment is almost as bad as the Democratic establishment, but why doesn't someone on the Republican side push out the facts that Ukraine did meddle in the election? There were two or three people in Ukraine indicted and charged and found guilty of meddling in the American election and trying to support Hillary. I just don't know why they don't push those facts out. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call. Hans, what's the answer to that?
Well, no, there are Republicans pushing that out, including Representative Nunes. And I don't know if folks have seen this, but Rudy Giuliani has just sent a letter to Lindsey Graham. He actually tweeted about it within the last day, saying that he can supply the Senate, in urging them to actually have hearings on this, with the names of at least three witnesses who have direct knowledge of efforts by people in the Ukraine to hurt the Trump campaign and help Hillary Clinton get elected.
You're listening to American Family Radio. My name is J. Christian Adams in this Thanksgiving week for Sandy Rios. We're taking your calls on President Trump, the impeachment inquiry, and how about those poll numbers, right? The more Adam Schiff presses, the more the president's poll numbers go up, particularly among independents, right? And that's what's most dangerous to the Democrats. I'm on with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, taking your calls at 888-589-8840. Barbara, you're in Ohio. What do you have to say this morning?
Well, you said a little bit ago that you wanted to know what we were thankful for. Well, I am thankful for people like J. Christian Adams and Hans von Spakovsky, because they stand for truth. And that is so powerful. It is the thing that we have against lies, false information, negative reporting, and non-constitutional motives. So it's at the core of our faith as Christians. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's the way to the eternal life. So that's at the core of our faith. It's who Jesus is. And we have power to press the right thing in.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for those kind words on this Thanksgiving week. I will tell you that if I could urge everybody to read a great, and I know it's not Christmas, it's Thanksgiving, but Hans von Spakovsky's father has a great story that Hans wrote about at the Wall Street Journal. You should Google. Hans, what are some good ways folks can find that story?
If they Google A Christmas Tale 1919, they will pull it up on the Wall Street Journal. It was one of the first pieces I ever published. And I thank Barbara Caller too. I just give thanks that I was able to grow up in this country. My father was a Russian who escaped communism and fortunately made it to the United States along with my mother so that I and my brothers and sisters could grow up in this great country. And that's what I will give thanks for this Thanksgiving.
Indeed, it's a Thanksgiving week. We have a great deal to be thankful for, but we especially, I believe, Hans, have to recognize the treasure that we've been given in a constitutional system that has led to the blessings of liberty like no place on the planet has ever seen in the entire history of the world. Listen, let's take a call from Daniel. Daniel, you're down in Louisiana. How are you doing today?
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yes, I'm thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life and his kingdom will rule and reign on this earth. And there's no corruption in his kingdom. And I'm thankful to the USA, too. I'm thankful for you gentlemen. You're on a winning team. And yes, about this impeachment stuff, it is so serious. It's just like we need to be fighting this, the oath of office to fight all enemies foreign and domestic. I mean, support the Constitution against all enemies foreign and domestic. So we need to be fighting against this as much as we fight our foreign battles. I mean, it's that serious. Thank you, gentlemen, and God bless.
Thanks a lot, Daniel, for calling. You know, you remind us what the oath of office says, and the oath, by the way, is in the Constitution that the president must take, and you quoted it correctly, to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I will never forget a couple of years ago, I went to a swearing-in of a congressman that I won't say, and I was in his office, and afterwards he looked at me and he said, it was so nice to take that oath to swear to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I think we lose sight of the fact, and I suppose we don't learn in schools all the time, that there can be enemies living among us who hate the Constitution. And we have an obligation, and I'm afraid we're going to be facing this in greater degrees, to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies. And what does that defense look like? What does it mean to defend the Constitution against domestic enemies? Well, for now, it means talking about it. It means voting. It means calling shows like you guys have done this morning. It means being active and talking to your neighbors, your friends, your church mates, people in your church, people in your neighborhoods about what's happening in the country and what we stand for. I'm thankful for you guys sitting through the last hour. I'm J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios this week on American Family Radio. I'm going to be back again tomorrow, if you didn't get enough today. I'll be talking about a lot more things to be thankful for, including how we elect the president. What does our Constitution say about that? What does our Constitution say about power in the White House and who has it? Thank you all for joining us. J. Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. Catch you tomorrow, same time. Take care.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.